world and local news, traffic, sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening, and welcome to Edge News for April 15th, 2024. It is time for less Mozart and a little more non-stop breaking news and smooth tunes from the hours of 7 to midnight here on 88.7. I'm Cyrus Micah, and I'm with Claire McNamara and Caden Procaccini, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on the SUNY New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's national headlines, the FBI is conducting a criminal investigation into the deadly collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge that is focused on the circumstances leading up to it and whether all federal laws were followed, according to someone familiar with the matter. The person was not authorized to discuss details of the investigation publicly and spoke on the condition of anonymity to the Associated Press. The FBI was aboard the Chicago ship Dali conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity, the agency said in a statement on Monday. It didn't elaborate that and said it wouldn't comment further on the investigation, which was first reported by the Washington Post. Meanwhile, Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott on Monday announced a partnership with two law firms to, quote, launch legal action to hold the wrongdoers responsible, end quote, and mitigate harm to city residents. The massive Dali left Baltimore's port in the early hours of March 26th, laden with cargo and headed for Sri Lanka when it struck one of the bridge's supporting columns, causing the span to collapse into the Patapsco River and sending six members of a road crew plunging to their deaths. Divers have recovered three of the six bodies from the wreckage.
According to the latest IRS statistics, the average income tax refund so far this season is $3,011, up $123 from last year. Two out of the three taxpayers expect to receive a refund. The IRS is promoting the customer service improvements the agency rolled out since receiving tens of billions in new funding dollars through Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act. Getting refunds out faster, to some people in just over a week, is part of the promotion. So far, the IRS has delivered more than $200 billion in refunds through early April, and the latest agency numbers show that 101 million people have filed returns this tax season. From cutting phone wait times to digitizing more documents and improving the Where's My Refund tool to show more account details in plain language, agency leaders are trying to bring attention to what's been done to repair the image of the IRS as an outdated and maligned tax collector. The promotion also, in part, is meant to quickly normalize a more efficient and effective IRS before congressional Republicans threaten another round of spending cuts to the agency. So time is of the essence for both taxpayers and the agency.
Thunderstorms, damaging winds, and large hail are expected in the plains starting today before moving across parts of Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, the South, and the Midwest, the National Weather Service said. Severe thunderstorms are expected mainly tonight across the southern and central Great Plains. Tornadoes are possible, the Weather Service said. Mark Chenard, a meteorologist at the Weather Prediction Center in College Park, Maryland, said large hail was the biggest threat from the storms. The storms could produce baseball-sized hail and winds 60 to 80 miles per hour, the Weather Service said. There will be some areas of heavy rain as well, unquote, Mark Chenard said. Quote, there could be some localized areas of flash flooding.
Iowa's Supreme Court heard oral arguments Thursday in a case that could decide the future of abortion access in that state, the latest in a series of legal battles that threaten abortion access across the country during a historic election year. At issue is a ban passed by the legislature last July that restricts the procedure after 6 weeks of pregnancy, the point where fetal cardiac activity can be detected. Planned Parenthood and others immediately sued to block the law and won a preliminary injunction from a lower court. During a hour-long hearing in Des Moines, the justices on Iowa's highest court quizzed lawyers from each side on how the state's past abortion rulings, which in recent years narrowed protections for abortion, apply to the pending law. They questioned whether the case should be sent back to district court for further arguments and review.
Three people were shot and a child was hit by a law enforcement vehicle after gunfire broke out Wednesday afternoon at a Philadelphia park where about 1,000 people had gathered to celebrate the end of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, police said. Kevin Bethel, Philadelphia's police commissioner, said in a news conference that two groups that appeared to be feuding factions began exchanging gunfire at Clara Muhammad Square around 2:30 p.m. About 30 shots were fired, Bethel said. Officers arrested four people exiting the West Philadelphia Park who were carrying weapons, Bethel said. A fifth person, a male 15-year-old who was shot by an officer in the leg and shoulder, was also arrested, he said. The boy, who was taken to the hospital and is in stable condition, was holding a gun when the officer fired, Bethel said.
And now, state headlines. The union representing hundreds of New York City Council staffers voted to approve its first-ever contract this week, its president told The Gothamist on Saturday. The Association of Legislative Employees' new contract with the council will raise minimum annual salaries for councilmember aides from $30,000 to $55,000, establish yearly pay increases, and implement, quote, just cause rules around discipline and firings. The agreement also sets overtime rules and a grievance procedure for staffers reporting abuse or misconduct. Quote, we hope these new rules of the road put an end to the 51 islands of these council members and creates one much more united city council with a real standard for abuse, said ALE President Daniel Krupp, a principal legislative financial analyst for the council. Quote, this is historic. The ALE is the state's first legislative labor union. It was formally recognized by the council in 2021 after years of organizing against abrupt terminations, disparate wages, and harassment by council members. The union covers aides to the city's 51 council members, as well as staff working for the legislative body's central office. Quote, this is a sea change in terms of the relationship that staffs will have to staff will have to go to their council members or their managers if they work the central staff divisions, end quote, Krupp said.
Governor Kathy Hochul and Democratic lawmakers are nearing a deal on a broad legislative package meant to boost housing production and provide renters with some new safeguards against eviction, which would clear one of the major remaining hurdles to reaching a final state budget agreement. But the framework presented to lawmakers on Friday is encountering sharp criticism from advocates for stronger statewide tenant protection and landlord groups demanding changes to New York City's current rent stabilization rules. The housing agreement described by state lawmakers and people close to negotiations is expected to revive a tax break for New York City housing developers that expired 2 years ago while enacting a form of a good cause eviction measures, which will allow tenants to challenge rent increases that exceed a certain percentage.
Two police officers were killed in a shootout on Sunday evening as they investigated a stolen vehicle in an upstate New York town near Syracuse, the authority said. The two officers were investigating a parked vehicle in Salina at New York when a suspect shot at them, Syracuse Police Chief Joseph L. Cecil told reporters early Monday morning. He gave no indication of a possible motive. Several people were shot in the ensuing shootout, including an officer from the Syracuse Police Department, a sheriff's deputy from the Onondaga County, and one male suspect, the police said. Those three were later pronounced dead at a nearby hospital. Earlier in the evening, around 7 p.m., two Syracuse officers tried to stop what they had determined to be a suspicious vehicle, but the driver drove off, the police said.
A Bronx man died last week after being struck by an electric vehicle at an intersection in East Harlem, police announced Saturday. NYPD officials said 59-year-old Jose Peralta died on Thursday, April 4th, after an e-bike collision days earlier sent him into a local hospital with head trauma. Peralta was walking in the crosswalk at 1st Avenue and 106th Street in Upper Manhattan shortly before midnight on March 29th when a person on an e-bike rammed into him, according to officials. Peralta was hospitalized, where police said he was pronounced dead nearly a week after the crash. The cyclist likely had a green light and stayed at the scene after the crash, per officials. Police said they have made no arrests and are investigating.
That's it in national news. We'll be going to break in a moment, but first, the Edge Weather Report. Tonight, expect a low of 49 with clear skies, perfect for stargazing. Tomorrow, expect a high of 69 and a low of 39 with mostly sunny to mostly cloudy skies as the day progresses. Don't go reaching for that dial. Claire will bring us back with some more headlines in just a moment. Your Edge News time is 7:09 p.m.
There's a monster under my bed.
For a child with asthma, monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Something as innocent as a teddy bear or a bath toy could trigger their next asthma attack. Here are ways to help. Freezing stuffed animals to kill dust mites. Drying bath toys to prevent mold. Learn how to end your child's asthma attacks at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're just in time for the 101 on the 845. Town board members are looking for a way to provide residents with a list of community solar electricity providers without appearing to endorse any of the companies that have programs offering discounts for low-income households. Concern over the appearance of impropriety in the use of the town letterhead was discussed last week during a town board meeting. Quote, "We'll figure out how to get that to the public without it being something that puts us in an uncomfortable position," unquote, Supervisor Janine Walsh said. Officials were particularly concerned about residents choosing a company that doesn't support its promise of savings. Quote, "If it comes back where this happens to not work out for somebody, I don't want to get that backlash," unquote, Councilman Joseph Harvneck said. A high-profile case involved Columbia Utilities in 2022 when 23,000 customers and 10 municipalities under a community choice aggregate program, including four in Ulster County, were sent back to Central Hudson after Columbia Utilities was declared in default by an oversight agency. Town Environmental Commission members are seeking to have the letter sent as part of climate smart actions that help economically disadvantaged households use electricity from alternative energy sources at a 20% reduction.
Like other districts across New York State, the Kingston City School District, KCSD, isn't waiting around for the state budget to be finalized before figuring out its own spending plan for the 2024-25 school year. Assistant Superintendent for Business, Sharifa Carbone, noted that the KCSD is only susceptible to one of two potential school funding changes Governor Kathy Hochul is pushing for, but it could hit hard. The first, known as, quote, "hold harmless," guarantees school districts don't receive less funding aid than in years past. Over half of the school districts in New York, including most in Ulster County, would see their foundation aid drop if Hochul removes hold harmless.
Members of the Saugerties American Legion and WFV traveled to Leavenworth, Kansas for the Colonel Roger Dolan Celebration of Life and Burial. Attendees included Warren Whitaker, Vince Buono, Bob Howe, Kevin Pendergast, Gene O'Donovan, Mark Webster, Aaron Vandermark, and Paul Anderson. The Village of Saugerties named a recreation space in Village Hall on Partition Street the Donlin Auditorium on December 28, 1964. In 2013, the town of Saugerties named its municipal complex on High Street the Colonel Roger H.C. Donlin Saugerties Town Hall. A new sign was dedicated to him in 2016.
For all the students listening, here's the latest updates from around our campus. Join us for this live virtual event where we will learn about support services support services reform from actually autistic community helpers. This pivotal panel sheds light on neurodiversity-affirming care through a unique lens of collaboration, offering deep insights and an engaging Q&A, open to everyone, free of charge. Be a part of this transformative discussion on advancing support services. This event will take place on Monday, April 15th, 2024, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on WebEx.
And now, top world headlines. A government-appointed commission in Germany recommended on Monday that lawmakers legalize abortion during the first trimester of pregnancy, a move that could push the country into a long-avoided debate on an issue that for decades remained in a legal gray zone. Outside of exceptions for medical reasons or because of rape, abortions in Germany are technically illegal, but in practice they are broadly permitted in the first 12 weeks if a woman has received mandatory counseling and then waits at least 3 days to terminate the pregnancy. Abortion rights activists say Germany has grown increasingly out of sync with the rest of Europe, where several countries have recently moved to loosen restrictions on abortion or to bolster laws protecting access to the procedure, especially after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Last month, legislators in France voted to explicitly enshrine access to abortion in the Constitution, making their country the first in the world to do so. In Poland, where a previous conservative government enacted a near-total ban on abortion, politicians are moving forward with draft legislation to loosen some of Europe's most restrictive abortion laws.
A 15-year-old boy has been arrested after a bishop and several churchgoers were stabbed during a sermon in Sydney. The incident happened on Monday evening at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in the suburb of Wakeley. At least four people were stabbed, but police said none of their injuries were life-threatening. The incident triggered unrest as hundreds gathered outside the church, clashing with police, two of whom were injured. Vehicles were damaged as people threw stones, bricks, and bottles, and, according to Reuters news agency, police fired pepper spray. Witnesses said the people gathered were demanding for the attacker to be brought outside. Police said they had responded in numbers to the incident and urged the public to keep away from the area. New South Wales Acting Assistant Commissioner Andrew Holland said the 15-year-old suspect was being treated for wounds to his hand. He added he had been taken to a secure location. The stabbing comes days after six people were killed at a shopping mall in Sydney. The attacker was later shot dead by a police officer.
Israel is weighing possible responses to Iran's attacks with hundreds of drones and missiles, amid growing calls for restraint to avert a wider war. Israel and its allies shot down nearly all projectiles fired in the first ever direct Iranian attack on Israel. The U.S. has said it will not take part in any Israeli response to avoid an escalation in regional hostilities. Centrist Israeli Minister Benny Gantz and the country said the country would, quote, exact the price, unquote, from Iran when timing is right. For almost 2 weeks, Iran had telegraphed its plans to respond to the April 1st airstrike on its diplomatic compound in the Syrian capital, Damascus, that killed several military advisors, including two top generals. Iran blamed Israel for the attack, saying it was the equivalent to a strike on its own soil.
Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel over the weekend is an escalation that the Biden administration had hoped to avoid. For the first time, Iran launched a barrage of missiles and drones from its own soil toward Israel late Saturday in what Tehran is calling an act of self-defense. This is after an airstrike on its consulate in Syria earlier this month that killed several Iranian commanders. Israel is believed to have carried out that attack, although it is not confirmed nor denied that publicly. Israel and its allies, including the U.S., intercepted almost all of Iran's projectiles before they could make impact. There were no reported deaths, though a 7-year-old was hospitalized after shrapnel from an intercepted Iranian missile landed on their home.
For people in eastern Ukraine, where nightly barrages of drones from Russia outpaced the military's overwhelmed air defenses, the response by Western allies to Iran's aerial assault against Israel this weekend produced uncomfortable comparisons. The militaries of the United States, Britain, France, and others stepped in to help Israel defend against the fusillade of more than 300 Iranian drones and missiles, nearly all of which were intercepted. A similar number of aerial weapons are fired at Ukraine on a weekly basis, its officials say, with many of the drones in those attacks designed by Iran and now produced by Russia. Since the start of this year, Russia has fired 1,000 missiles, 2,800 drones, and 7,000 guided aerial bombs at Ukraine, according to Ukraine's permanent representative to the United States, Sergei Klaistia. While Washington and other allies have provided Kyiv with some powerful air defense weapons, they have not directly confronted Russian forces, and Ukrainian officials have long argued that the supplied weapons are insufficient to counter the threat from Moscow. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:20 p.m.
I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey the Bear said to...
Brown it with water, then stir it with a shovel, and repeat until cool.
Wow! Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your safe forester, and the Ad Council.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for the huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz athletics. The State University of New York at New Paltz men's and women's swimming dives back into the pool for its final dual meet of the season as it welcomes SUNY Oneata to the nest Saturday. Currently, the Red Dragons men's swimming team sits at 2-4 this season, while their women's side are 0-6 on the year. The Hawks have been working tirelessly since their training trip to Boynton Beach, Florida. The team is tired and beaten, having pushed through their last meet against SUNY Cortland. However, that's not to say their swimmers are getting pumped up and energized as they get closer to the championship season. Two SUNY New Paltz swimming seniors share similar opinions about their upcoming meet, stating that the energy is back and the team as a whole is ready for Saturday's meet.
The State University of New York at New Paltz improved to 12-0 on the season after comfortably handling the visiting Potsdam Bears Wednesday on North Turf Field 21-3. The Hawks, 12-0, 4-0, had a running clock before the end of the first quarter as they rattled off 10 goals in the first 15 minutes. They wasted no time either, scoring 3 in the opening 2 minutes after winning 3 consecutive draws, which led to scores on each offensive possession.
Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes wasted little time in getting to work with new receiver running back Louise Rees-Zamit. Late last month, the Chiefs signed Rees-Zamit, the former Welsh rugby star, and he said one of his biggest challenges is getting up to speed with the game of football, not just the Chiefs, but football in general. Rees-Zamit was in Europe last week, but he returned to the States to get ready for the NFL season. That meant starting to work with Mahomes. Open organized team activities on Monday, but Mahomes has already been busy working with teammates. At last month's 101 awards, Mahomes explained that the Chiefs aren't content with having won 2 straight Super Bowls.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. Escapade Media has come on board to take international sales rights to Follow the Rain, a feature-length documentary about unknown species of mushroom that has enjoyed theatrical release in its native Australia. The film is directed and produced by Catherine Marcinak, and follows Marcinak and Stephen Axford, her partner in production company Planet Fungi, as they explore forests and wetlands, charting some of the millions of undocumented forms of mushrooms, fungus, and mycelium. The pair takes a physical journey following the rain in one of Australia's wettest years to discover what fungal stories have emerged and come out with a fungi feast. The completed film, with a score by composer Romano Cervici and Carla Thacra, combines imagery from mushroom time lapses, adventures in majestic forest where fungi is everywhere, dramatic weather in remote landscapes, and the visual appeal of a road trip.
The 30th anniversary of the original animated film version of The Lion King will be celebrated at the Hollywood Bowl next month with a live-to-film concert and screening that will include cast members from both the movie and theatrical versions and beyond, including Jeremy Irons, Nathan Lane, Billy Eichner, Ernie Sabella, Jason Weaver, and Bradley Gibson. The shows will take place at the Bowl May 24th to 25th. And be produced by Disney Concerts, Fullwell 73 Productions, AMP Worldwide, and Live Nation Hewitt Silva. The general on sale begins Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster, with an American Express cardholder presale starting Tuesday at 10 a.m.
The weekend is over, and after two nights of drunken confessions, rejected fakes, and surprising hookups, we've got some tea for you. It's time for the Gossip Column. It's not every day a car flies through the air and lands inside a house, and it's even less common that's captured on video, but here we are. According to Storyful, the wild crash was one hell of a wake-up call, going down at 6:30 a.m. in Jaropa Valley, California, and this doorbell video shows a black sedan flying high above to two parked pickup trucks before crashing into the side of a house. Richard Hernandez, who shared the doorbell cam footage, told Storyville the driver lost control after trying to make a left-hand turn at a high speed, resulting in a catastrophe. The Riverside County Fire Department told the outlet the first responders arrived at the scene not too long after the crash, and the driver was able to safely exit their vehicle before being taken to the hospital.
A gastro hub that was once under Gordon Ramsay's control is now being run by a group of people who pulled up and called the place home, and cops can't kick them out. The York and Albany Pub and Hotel in London is currently being occupied by at least six squatters who appear to have barged in and cozied up at some point this month, something that's on the local police's radar, but which they say they can do nothing about. The Metropolitan Police told British media outlets that the squatters' presence was a civil matter and that until a crime is committed, they're handcuffed in terms of booting them.
Today is April 15th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here are some folks who share your special day. Actress Emma Watson turns 34. Actor Seth Rogen turns 42. And Latin singer Luis Fonsi turns 46. Sorry.
That's about it from us, folks. But before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1960, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee organizes at Shaw University. In 1952, President Harry Truman signs the official Japanese peace treaty. And in 1923, the first sound films are shown to a paying audience are exhibited at the Rialto Theater in New York City.
And that'll be it from us for the day. On the Edge News staff are our directors, Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Alyssa Roldan. Sources for the Edge News have been provided by the New York Times, the Gothamist, the Times Union, the Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and the New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.
Pay for both of their petitions. Gucci this, BB that, and she love true religion. That's a five-star chick, cause her future's so bright. She got a cool sense of humor and a attitude right. She go to real estate school, she do her on the side. Went to school to practice law, I need her on my side. That's a five-star chick, you a fool not to keep her. I'ma show you what to do if I ever get to meet her. That's a five-star chick.
Otro año.